As we end our practice, in your mind and heart, choose a desire for your own well-being, a wish for your own well-being. Be it peace, connection, safety. What does your heart desire or long for the most for yourself? And say this in an affirmation, a positive statement. I am unlimited love. I am peace itself. Even if you don't feel it yet, say it in an affirmation, affirmative sentence, I am. Say this to yourself mentally 3 times, whatever you're choosing. Take a deep breath into your body and breathe out the nose slowly. Let's reflect on where we've been in our practice. Inhale again and exhale slowly. Note how you're feeling. You can move your body if you'd like now as we begin our talk. After 20 plus years of deep practice and possibly lifetimes, I'm not sure, I've been in touch with so many teachers who exude the qualities we're aiming our lives toward: equanimity, compassion, gentleness, kindness, mindfulness in speech, behavior. And those I've met who are full of that sense of kindness and warmth that act out of those places have come to terms with who they are. While much of the modern seeker's idea of enlightenment is some kind of blissed out state where there's no anxiety, depression, where you live on continuously in a state of equanimity, full of light. That's the ideal that people seem to be going for, and they miss the person who's embodied it with kindness and warmth, empathy, caring. They go, yeah, that's nice, but what I want is this mountaintop feeling of bliss. That's what enlightenment is, right? And I point again to the teachers and those of us around us who care for one another deeply, who are skillful in giving feedback, who are open and receptive to hearing feedback without defensiveness. This is the embodiment of enlightenment. When we have multiple awakenings and see our own true nature, and then integrate those into our daily speech, action, behavior, thought, we're living enlightened. Not one of these teachers I've met in caves, villages, town squares, live in a perpetual state of bliss and light. What they do is relate to their own humanity with a humility and truthfulness so that that part of their humanity is nurtured and nourished and gets out of its own way so that truth comes right through. When I started acknowledging the truth of my own humanity, I started experiencing true liberation. Because most of my life, I was busy trying to cover up my mistakes, trying to go toward perfection, so I would never admit or be vulnerable about my true humanity's functioning, features, style, personality traits. I wanted to appear as a certain way. And the more I did this work, the more I discovered that actually stating the truth of my current state of being, without judgment, with total love for it, no matter if I preferred it or didn't, I found a deep love for this being that's carrying me forward. What I found in the statement, truth sets you free, I thought that was an idiom or some kind of saying that didn't have much merit to it, because I try to speak truth. I try not to lie. That's not what this is talking about. When you actually come into witness of this being, your human beingness, for what it is, acknowledge it with love and care and tenderness, nurture it, take care of it like a child or a garden. That deep love and tenderness and care turns out to be the liberation we're looking for. My wife once told me, actually, just recently, she said, I'm kind of bored of you. I was like, damn. Is that like globally or specifically like in some, you know, unique way? I was curious about her experience. And she was able to tell me what, you know, after all 14 years, what part she's not excited about. And I could hold that. I could hold her. Kindness and compassion, because she's having a unique human experience that's actually not about me. And when we talked and I discovered and she discovered what she actually meant, she said she felt a great sense of relief, a huge sense of relief, because she was needing something she didn't know how to vocalize. And once she truly said, you know, this thing I've been looking for, it's not actually found here. I'm wondering where there are other places I might find this thing I'm looking for. I'm like, that's amazing. How can I support you find that thing that you're looking for? She went to bed with this feeling of relief and freedom she never had, because she wouldn't have exposed herself like that. You understand? She wouldn't have trusted her or me to say the actual thing that needed to be said. And I'm like, I'm going to try that. So I was like, look, babe, I got something. And I shared this thing that I've been holding in for a year, this thing that I didn't want to tell her. And I was so embarrassed and so shy and so scared of being vulnerable, but I said this thing. I don't want to do this thing anymore. I don't like it. It doesn't fit my need. It's not who I am right now. I was like, ah. And she's like, ah, that's what's been going on for you this whole time. Isn't that beautiful? I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. It's not who I am. I don't like it. She's like, oh, I knew something was up. That's what was going on for you this whole time. And I went to bed with a sense of freedom and relief I have not had in a year. Freedom comes from speaking truth. Our practice, then, is one of learning how to discern what that truth is and how to speak it mindfully, skillfully, so that it doesn't hurt another person. My wife wasn't saying, I'm boring. She didn't say, you're boring. She goes, I'm bored with this. I didn't say to my wife, I don't want to do this anymore because I don't like you when you do it. Or I said, this is not true for me anymore. And she could hear that. I could hear her, both in our truth. It wasn't about me. It was about her. Mine was about me, not about her. And when you hear truth ringing like that, you know, oh, this is that person's experience. I don't have to take it in at all. I can just hold it, witness it. Our practice is then learning to discern what is actually true for us and then speaking it in a way that's mindful, skillful, so it brings about the best growth, transformation, and healing rather than hurt, harm, just because you want to say something. That's not actually true. The deepest stuff is never about other people. It's always about yourself in here and your own nature. So learning to express yourself in your own true nature without having to say, you this, that, that, is freedom. because now we own our experience. The truth has been setting me free for a lifetime of this practice, but now that I've learned deep vulnerability, discernment, and clarity, and speech and action, and I think about others' well-being when I speak to them, now I'm able to say things that are true without judgment or shame, and I feel free. I still have a lot to work on, but I feel free. That's real freedom. So, I'd like to hear from some of you about what you might have... It was a cognitive exercise in the meditation. I don't often like going cognitive because it takes you out of your body. But I found it interesting to go up there and hear myself say something true. What I heard myself say was, Mike, you can take breaks. You don't have to work so hard. I'm like, oh, that's so hard to hear because my value is tied into how hard I work, you know. But the truth is I don't have to work this hard. I don't know what's pushing me really, but the truth is I can be more gentle and kind to give myself some breaks. I was like, damn, okay, I hear you. Fine. What did you hear? What did you hear, if you care to share? Oh, so many smiles. You're all like, God, secrets. Telling you shit. Secrets. Who's willing to share anything about that experience? What did you hear yourself say to yourself? Was it surprising? Was it exciting? Was it hard to hear?
Well, I can share.
Okay, Kat.
Katarina, hi. It seems like your Dharma talks are always speaking to exactly where I am in life. So, I am in a position where my current job decided not to renew my contract in a very kind of cold-hearted and blindsided way. And I've been in this major transition, which has been really kind of beautiful to watch, because in it I am unlocking some of those pieces that have kept me in a state of unhappiness, and what came up in that meditation in a state of insecurity, and what I do as my passion and my vocation, which I believe I do well, and that I do with a lot of love, I've been in a place where to do that often felt unsafe, I'm watching some of this. I'm definitely needing some reassurance along the way, realizing that. That sense of not feeling safe was contributing to my own unhappiness, and that the mantra or the piece, you know, that I said at the end was feeling fully secure and in love with that which is my vocation. And, doing it without feeling like I'm always having to judge or second guess or feel insecure. So.
Thanks for sharing that and being witnessed. Did anybody discover anything new? Any information that you didn't expect to hear? Or was it something you expected, you already knew? How many of you are yes? Sam?
Yes.
The answer is yes. I don't remember the question, Sam.
You had to. Was it something that you didn't expect, or was it something that you expected?
Yes.
The answer is yes.
So both, then, huh? Any surprising thing for you?
Yeah. It was basically like, oh yeah, you're safe. Remember, everything's going to be okay.
How was that to hear that?
Oh, it's nice to remember.
Yeah.
I mean, things feel chaotic from time to time. Mm-hmm. Outside.
Look, none of us heard something really that surprising because you already know these things. I mean, I knew what I was going to say. I knew I heard it. I'm like, yeah, obviously. What's harder to do is share that with other people. That's the challenge. One thing is to hear it. Next thing is to go, and then to trust that that coming out is actually, even though it's hard and vulnerable, is the key for you switching tracks. My friends who have come out, they had to go through this before saying to their families and communities, this is my true self. I need to be heard and witnessed. And then there's liberation and oppression, of course, that comes in a community that doesn't value possibly that. But there is a liberation that comes when you're like, this is who I am inside, and I'm willing to share this at any cost, because not saying this, the cost is my life. The cost is authenticity. Mm. Not saying this, the cost is my life and authenticity. So for those of us who are not practicing truth speaking about our own experience, we're actually doing it at our own, the cost of our own authenticity. And that's a very high price, very high cost to do that. Because you're trapping yourself in conditions and fear and shame or embarrassment. The door is wide open, but you're like facing the prison cell and going, oh, this is a really tight space I'm in. But you can literally turn around without your truth speaking and walk out that door and go, excuse me, but fuck it, this is who I am. That doesn't mean you get to hurt people with that, and doesn't mean your who you are gets to walk over people. It means you become more skillful and adept at speaking your truth and kindness, compassion for yourself and for other people. And then how can you not help encourage people to go, look, this is scary, but here's how I did it. And this is what I encourage for you to try. Speak it out. Speak your truth. Any other experiences you wanted to share or questions you may have about this process? Of ringing the bell, as I call it. Because when you hear truth, it rings like a bell. Anybody?
I'm interested in the yeah, but that happens after that. You know, like you said, oh, you knew that you could slow down, you could take care of yourself. Yeah, but this is how I need to work. This is what I need to do. You know, I'm sick. Yeah, but my experience hasn't shown me that.
Right, because sometimes we're not safe. The truth is, I push myself because I'm afraid if I don't, I won't have any value and people won't like me. And so what I need to do is love on myself so deeply and tenderly that I fulfill that need. And it doesn't matter how I work or what I work, because I've already gotten that deep need met. So if I don't feel safe, what can I do to nurture that sense of safety so I know I have my back? We know others don't always have our back. That is true. But most of the time, we don't have our own backs. What would it take then to go, I am my own protector. I am my own nurturer and guide. And I can feel safe with myself. And now I'm in a world that might be violent or dangerous, but I trust myself. There's no yeah, but. Once you get down to that level, you just do it, or you say, no, I won't practice being safe for myself. But then you're aware. You're already aware now. It's hard not to. Once you really talk to yourself truly, it's hard not to. Like, man, I don't feel safe in the world. Well, I don't feel safe with myself then. So how do I nurture that sense of safety? And now that you already know that's the underlying bottom line, it's a lot harder to ignore it. And a lot easier to actually fulfill that. Mm-hmm.
I have two comments about that. One, my husband and I have been working therapeutically with somebody, and she was saying, she was calling us out on saying yes, but just say yes. Don't say yes, but then you just negate, you know, exactly what you've affirmed. And the piece you're talking about, I've started to listen to this and I don't do books on tape, but I'm doing it now, about self-compassion. I mean, and that's really what you're getting.
Is that Kristen Neff's book? Or?
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, to have our own back, we have to have self-compassion. That's a practice.
Which is, it's a little ironic in Buddhism where there's no real sense of self, but what the self is this human being that we're living in, that if we don't love this human being we're living in, it's very hard to function optimally and with other people in the world. Mm. Really loving this. A ton of faults, but I'm learning to love every one of them. Mm. Just deep love of this thing that we don't always prefer, but don't kick any part of us out. That's true self-love, self-compassion for our own, the suffering of this human being. Other thoughts? Musings? Questions? Any of you feel inspired to try something out tonight? Going home or talking to somebody and going, you know, I've been holding this in. I'd like to share something with you. Mm-hmm. The couples are like looking at each other in the room. I am not liable for what happens later on this evening. These are just suggestions. To practice in a loving and safe container without knives around. Because not everyone's practiced enough to hear someone say, I'm bored of you. And you're like, excuse me? And then you get all angry. But in fact, be curious.
Well, I think that's the other piece, is how you're accepted.
Yeah.
Is how, if other people are ready to hear your truth, and if they're ready to not take offense to it. Because you can't control that.
Yep.
Like, I control what I do, but if someone doesn't just warmly accept what I'm saying, it can be quite painful.
It can. So that becomes a process of discernment. Mm-hmm. Learning who is a safe container and who may not be. That's partly discernment. Mm-hmm. The second piece is maybe doing it anyway, if there's enough safety, even if there's enough, and being okay with their response.
And not.
It's not really you. But a lot of times.
Or no response.
Or no response. Yeah. Sometimes this is very shocking stuff to people. Wow. But in truth, if you just have an open container of curiosity and kindness to another human being's experience, it's much easier to go, tell me what your life, like, what is it like for you? I know my wife very well after 14 years, and I still don't know, you know, I'm still learning everything about her. Always curious. So I think that's the end. I really appreciate all of you coming out. I hope at least you got some things to ponder and muse on. It really does set us free. I do want to say that. Liberation is here for us. It's not for the monk in the cave or the temple. It's actually easier than this. I've done it. That's actually easier than doing this. This is tough, what we're doing here, down here in the town, the city. So bring that kind of elevated consciousness into our life through our actions, thoughts, speech, learning to speak authentically. It's very liberating. So I'll hopefully see all of you or many of you next week at the sound bath. Bring some food to share and a blanket to lay down on. I'll bring some manuals for meditation next week that I'll pass out to y'all for the winter. And please check us on Facebook, because our schedule changes often because I travel and teach and do research. And we're going to teach 2 times in January. So just keep your eyes out open on Facebook, okay? Anything to share that?
Nope.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you all very much. Mm-hmm. Be well. Mm-hmm.